Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, we open our show with some national news stories, including the tragic death of a U.S. hostage in Iraq and threats made by a Muslim extremist group against First Lady Michelle Obama, President Obama's children, and military families in America. We'll also have the latest on the controversy surrounding NBC News anchor Brian Williams, including some creative social media reactions to revelations that his claims of being in a helicopter under fire in Iraq were not true. Right here in East County, an e-cigarette exploded in Ramona, sparking calls for safety regulations on e-cigarettes and vaping devices. A national bond expert has published an article in Forbes magazine calling for a criminal investigation of the Grossmont Union High School Board over its misallocation of bond monies. We'll have details on today's show on this story that we've been tracking now for several years. We'll also have news about a local water district found to have contaminated water. Plus, we'll tell you about some wild weather due to hit our region this week, and learn why water supplies to San Diego County could be cut back this summer. After more than 90 years in business, Radio Shack is shutting down thousands of stores nationwide. Hear which ones are set to close on today's show. We'll have news about efforts to help a local burn victim. Plus, you can hear about efforts to save lives during Heart Health Month at a national level. Southwest Airlines has expanded its program offering free flights to patients and caregivers traveling to certain medical facilities, and we'll have details on how you can learn more. Also learn about a meeting coming up for horseback riders who are interested in volunteering to join the Sheriff's Volunteer Mounted Patrol here in East County. On the second half of our show today, we'll be replaying our interview with noted poet Jim Moreno about a Valentine's weekend poetry campout at Kumeyaay Lake in Mission Trails Regional Park. Then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about some romantic ways to spend Valentine's Day in our region, plus have previews about many fun and festive events coming up soon. We'll also have a reminder about the deadline to sign up for health insurance under Covered California. Plus, we'll have news about upgrades coming to the Hakumba Airport, and we'll take you on a road trip to the Desert View Tower in Hakumba Hot Springs. On Green Scene, hear about local San Diegans' trip north to protest fracking. Plus, hear our special report on vaccination rates at schools in East County and find out just how safe is your child's school. We'll have all these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, public interest news for our region, because East County matters.
The last surviving U.S. hostage being held by Islamic State has been killed, according to the White House. In a statement released by President Obama, he said, "It is with profound sadness that we have learned of the death of Kayla Jean Mueller," adding that the country shares in the family's grief. According to a statement released by Kayla's family, she was a humanitarian from Prescott, Arizona, and had traveled all over the world in the pursuit of helping others. They said she moved to the Turkish-Syrian border in December 2012 and began working with the organizations Support to Life and the Danish Refugee Council to assist families who had been forced to flee their homes. In a statement released by the humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders, on August 3, 2013, for unknown reasons, Kayla accompanied a repair technician to a Syrian hospital run by the International Medical Group. The technician's work went overtime, so he and Kayla were given shelter for the night in the hospital. In a statement released by the humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders, on August 3, 2013, for unknown reasons, Kayla accompanied a repair technician to a Syrian hospital run by the International Medical Group in Aleppo. The technician's work went overtime, so he and Kayla were given shelter for the night in the hospital. In the statement, Doctors Without Borders expressed condolences and noted that Kayla did not work for Doctors Without Borders. They described the situation that led to her capture, saying that on August 4, 2013, the team organized transportation for Kayla and the technician to the Aleppo bus station, from where they were to depart for Turkey. Kayla's detention occurred during the drive to the bus station. According to Reuters, IS terrorists claimed in an online posting last Friday that Kayla had been killed in a Jordanian airstrike in the Syrian city of Raqqa, where she was being held. The claim was denied by Jordan and dismissed as a PR stunt. However, Kayla's family and the White House confirmed on Monday that she in fact had been killed under circumstances that were not described. President Obama vowed, "No matter how long it takes, the United States will find and bring to justice the terrorists who are responsible for Kayla's captivity and death." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report on some disturbing threats made by Islamic extremists supportive of the Islamic State, or ISIS. A group calling itself the Cyber Caliphate hacked into Twitter accounts in the U.S. on Tuesday, issuing threats against First Lady Michelle Obama, the president's two children, and American military spouses. Cyber Caliphate is the same name used by hackers who infiltrated U.S. Central Command's social media accounts last month, claiming credit for the latest threats. Now the group has hacked into Newsweek's Twitter account. The Cyber Caliphate issued a threat through a tweet using Newsweek's account, which read, "Bloody Valentine's Day, Michelle Obama. We're watching you, your girls, and your husband." Newsweek confirmed the hack on its website. "We can confirm that Newsweek's Twitter account was hacked this morning and have since regained control of the account," Newsweek managing editor Kira Bindrum said in a statement. The hack also included an image of a masked jihadist with an Islamic State flag. The offensive post has since been deleted. Several tweets were also reportedly sent through a Twitter account owned by the spouse of a U.S. Marine who runs a nonprofit that advocates on behalf of military spouses. The Hill reports that one tweet warned the group is waging a cyber jihad. Another threatened, "While your president and your husband are killing our brothers in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, we're coming for you." Other tweets warned of an ISIS presence in the U.S. Most ominously, one message claimed, "We know everything about you, your husband, and your children, and we're much closer than you can imagine. You'll see no mercy, infidel."
Journalists ought to know that in the news business, credibility is everything. Former CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite was known as the most trusted man in America. But now Brian Williams, news anchor at NBC TV, has come under fire after apologizing for claiming that he was in a helicopter struck by enemy fire in Iraq when others at the scene disputed the story. Williams later changed his story to say he was in another aircraft following the one that was struck, but one veteran has come forward to say that Williams didn't arrive at the scene until about an hour later. The anchorman's recollections of occurrences during his coverage of Hurricane Katrina have also been cast into doubt. Williams claimed that while covering the hurricane, he saw bodies floating past from the window of his hotel room in the French Quarter. However, the French Quarter did not flood. He also has claimed he rescued a puppy from a fire, and later embellished the tale to say he saved two puppies. Now Williams has announced he will take a few days off as the firestorm grows, fueled partially by ridicule on social media. The Twitter hashtag BrianWilliamsMisremembers is abuzz with photoshopped images of Williams boasting of roles in various historical events, to the amusement of Twitter users and doubtless to the chagrin of NBC News. Twitter sphere wits have Williams claiming, among other things, that he inspired Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, urged Al Gore to invent the internet, ordered a pizza at the Last Supper, and reported the moon landing live from the surface of the moon. For those considering a career in journalism, remember, credibility counts. Reporters are supposed to report the news, not become the news by embellishing tales to inflate their own image. Perhaps Williams should have taken a cue from Walter Cronkite, whose nightly sign-off from CBS News said, "That's the way it is." Not, "That's the way I sort of remember it happening, I think." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is volunteer journalist Ed Barena.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update to that story. Shortly after this report was recorded, NBC News announced that it will suspend Brian Williams without pay for 6 months.
An unidentified man was rushed to the regional burn center at UC San Diego after his e-cigarette exploded inside the Stagetop liquor store in Ramona on Saturday, according to NBC News. Cal Fire officials also said the explosion caused glass to shatter inside the store. This is not the first time an e-cigarette has exploded, injuring someone. Last year, Mother Jones Magazine reported 12 explosions with grave physical injury and property damage. One such explosion was in nearby Corona, California, where Mother Jones says Jennifer Reese and her husband Xavier were driving to the airport with their vape cigarettes charging in their car. I looked around and I saw the battery to the e-cigarette dripping, she told CBS Los Angeles. I went to unscrew it, and the battery started shooting fire toward me and then exploded and shot the metal pieces into my lap. A blowtorch type of fire, and then an explosion. Specifically, it's e-cigarettes lithium-ion batteries that combust. These batteries are also found in laptops and cell phones, but with e-cigarettes, the batteries are especially prone to overheating because smokers use incompatible chargers, overcharge the e-cigarettes, or don't use sufficient safety precautions. Just last month, on January 22nd of this year, the Federal Aviation Administration issued a safety alert for airline operators after at least two fires were started in the baggage compartments of passenger airlines, a safety bulletin suggesting airlines ban passengers from putting e-cigarettes in their checked baggage. A man died in the UK from apparent smoke inhalation, the British Broadcasting Corporation reported. A spokesman said the subsequent fire investigation identified that an e-cigarette that had been charging in the bedroom exploded, caught fire, and ignited the oxygen tube of an oxygen concentrator, which may have been in use by the occupier. The long-term smoking effects of electronic cigarettes may not be the only health concern to keep in mind when vaping. You're listening to East County Magazine.
The scandal over Grossmont Union High School District's misuse of bond funds has now made national news. Recently, a Superior Court judge agreed with a grand jury finding that the district diverted money from voter-approved bond measures into unauthorized projects while failing to build the promised Alpine High School that voters approved. Now, a Forbes magazine article titled, "Regulators Way Too Easy on Muni Bond Investors," is calling the Grossmont District's actions, quote, "a classic bait-and-switch scheme." Author Marilyn Cohen, who is one of the nation's top bond managers, asks, why aren't the people involved sent to jail? Forbes adds, once they had the money in their hot little hands, they thought they could do whatever they wanted with it rather than what they promised the taxpayers who voted for the bond issue. The district's efforts to resolve its financial woes in court means that only the lawyers win, not the taxpayers, the Forbes article continues. Consider the audacity of Grossmont in issuing another $60 million in bonds over the next few months. Bond investors should not trust the word of districts like Grossmont that mislead voters, Forbes concludes. East County Magazine has asked District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis if her office is investigating the Grossmont District, but thus far we have not received confirmation on whether or not any criminal investigation is underway. Dumanis previously launched a criminal probe against members of the Sweetwater Union School District's board that resulted in two convictions of trustees on corruption charges for accepting gifts over state limits. Political analysts may note that the key difference between the two districts is that Dumanis, a Republican, was willing to prosecute Democrats on the Sweetwater Board, but has thus far seemed unwilling to investigate or prosecute Republicans on the Grossmont District Board. Yet the offenses committed by Grossmont's board majority have caused harm that is arguably far more serious and widespread than Sweetwater's board members' actions. Tens of millions of dollars in bond funds were misappropriated by Grossmont, leading a judge to issue an injunction to halt spending of that money. Prop H was passed as the Safety and Overcrowding School Bond Initiative, yet Alpine students have been killed in accidents traveling long distances to schools far away. So clearly, school overcrowding and the long distance Alpine students must travel, especially in winter weather, is a safety issue. By the district's own admission, safety issues at other schools have not been fixed, yet the district spent bond money on unauthorized and seemingly less necessary projects, such as a performing arts center and an Olympic-sized swimming pool. The entire district is on the verge of being split up because of the board's actions, because Alpine parents now seek to leave the Grossmont District and join the Alpine Union School District instead. A petition to unify the Alpine District so it can accept high school students and build the high school in Alpine has been launched. The County Board of Education has recommended that the state approve the unification, also finding fault with the Grossmont Board's actions. Grossmont's board majority has insisted that enrollment triggers for the high school were not met, although this notion has been debunked by numerous credible experts and the grand jury. The board has failed to offer any credible explanation for why it built projects not listed in the bond while failing to build the Alpine High School listed as a top priority in Props H and U. Whether this was due to mere bungling, political retribution, or some as yet undisclosed profit motive,
such as maybe a construction company with ties to a board member or outright corruption, remains unclear since no investigation has been conducted. Bill Weaver, an Alpine parent and taxpayer, says the district's actions are why a taxpayer waste lawsuit is in the works against the district, its superintendent Ralph Swenson, and others. Weaver wants to see the Grossmont district answerable for its actions of ignoring safety and overcrowding issues that put Alpine students at risk. He concludes, criminal investigations are merited, as the Forbes expert author has made the legal case for fraud of bond investors and deceit of intent to the taxpayers who authorized these bonds. While the district attorney would be a logical choice to head up an investigation into potential local bond fraud, the state and federal government may also have jurisdiction under provisions of the Education Code in the case of the state and potentially mail fraud under federal law if deceptive materials were mailed to voters before the board majority diverted taxpayer-approved bond funds for other uses. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Leon Thompson with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The county's Environmental Health Department has issued a boil water order for the Mount Laguna water system effective immediately. The drinking water system has tested positive for E. coli and total coliform bacteria. The presence of E. coli bacteria indicates that the water may be contaminated with human or animal wastes. Health effects can include diarrhea, cramps, nausea, headache, or other symptoms. The water system serves the Desert View Picnic Ground, Red-Tailed Roost, Sierra Club Lodge, Camp Old Fire Station, and the Visitor Information Center with public restrooms and the following campgrounds: Wooded Hill, Horse Heaven, El Prado, Yerba Santa, Laguna, and Burnt Rancheria. The boil water order will remain in effect until lab results confirm the absence of bacteria in Mount Laguna's water supply.
A class action lawsuit has been filed against the UT San Diego, alleging that telemarketing operations for the newspaper violated the Telephone Consumer Protection Act by dialing people on their cell phones without permission and trying to sell them subscriptions. The complaint alleges that the calls were made by an automatic telephone dialing system, a practice that is banned unless consumers give consent or in cases of emergency. The San Diego Reader reports that Amanda Stone is one of those named in the class action lawsuits, alleging she received automated calls on her cell phone in January without permission, asking her to buy a $15 subscription. Those calls could prove costly mistakes for the UT, since it could face fines of $500 for every single call made in violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barrena with this week's weather outlook from East County Magazine on KNSJ. It's shaping up to be a wild weather week, starting with waves up to 12 feet off the coast whipped up by strong offshore winds. Wind gusts Wednesday and Thursday could reach 50 miles an hour in inland mountains and canyons, a concern for firefighters in continuing warm, dry conditions with temperatures forecast to reach the 70s. But a low pressure system moving north from Baja will bring cooler temperatures later in the week, with a chance of light showers this weekend.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The Metropolitan Water District, which supplies San Diego County with water, warned Monday that it may cut water deliveries by 5 to 10% or even more this summer. The decision was made in April after assessing how much water the district gets from the State Water Project, the Colorado River, and other supply sources. The San Diego County Water Authority has recently expanded local water storage and has been working to diversify water supplies, which would lessen the impact of any cuts that occur. Recent rains make this winter normal for rainfall statewide, but this precipitation has not been enough to make up for the 4 years of drought, and reservoir levels remain low, about half of pre-drought levels. If cuts are made, the County Water Authority would then have the option to decide whether to cut water to specific water districts throughout the county. Districts that have already taken steps to conserve water would feel the pinch less than districts that have not done enough to encourage conservation. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Radio Shack has been a fixture in the American retail market for over 90 years. The company started off selling radio parts to ship operators before opening retail stores. But times have changed, technology has evolved, and Radio Shack has failed to keep pace with the radically transformed marketplace. Now Radio Shack has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and announced it will close 4,000 company-owned stores across the U.S., including 9. Two of those are in East County, including locations in Santee and at Grossmont Center in La Mesa. The store's franchise stores are not included in the bankruptcy filing. Sprint plans to acquire about 2,000 stores, and General Wireless Incorporated is expected to open a store within those stores, according to a press release issued by Radio Shack. The stores that are closing will be selling off all inventory, giving Radio Shack customers one last chance to pick up bargains before the nearly century-old chain goes the way of typewriter stores and buggy whip manufacturers, other industries that failed to adapt to changing times. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
Nearly 80 riders on horseback hit the trail Saturday in Ramona to help pay the medical bills for Lynn Fuller, a Poway resident who suffered burns over more than 75% of her body. Fuller's boyfriend, Vidal Webb, set fire to her while she was sleeping, and he also burned her home. He was arrested and later committed suicide in the county jail. Fuller has no health insurance. She has undergone skin graft surgeries and remains in a medically induced coma at UCSD Medical Center, but her condition is improving and she is expected to survive. Her sister and niece, who lived with her, also lost their home, and some funds are also intended to help the family afford another place to live. Kristen Hanley worked with Fuller, an assistant to an equine veterinarian. She says, "I couldn't even fathom who could have done something to one of the nicest, warmest, friendliest, most positive, sweetest people that I have ever known," she told Fox News. So the equestrian community pulled together to help at Saturday's ride, which also included a silent auction. A donation page to help with Fuller's medical bills has been set up at Give Forward. The goal is to raise $500,000. So far, 13% of that goal, or over $64,000, has been raised, including $9,000 from Saturday's trail ride in Ramona, which was organized by Tiffany Neal, another friend of Fuller's. You can also find a link to that donation page at eastcountymagazine.org in our People Power section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Leon Thompson with a health report on East County Magazine. February is Heart Healthy Month, and the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has launched an effort to prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes in the United States by 2017. The CDC is encouraging you to know your blood pressure, and if it's high, to make control your goal. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is a leading cause of heart disease and stroke. More than 67 million Americans have high blood pressure. People with high blood pressure are 4 times more likely to die from a stroke and 3 times more likely to die from heart disease compared to those with normal blood pressure. High blood pressure often shows no signs or symptoms, which is why having your blood pressure checked regularly is important. It's easy to get your blood pressure checked. You can get screened at your doctor's office and drugstore, or even check it yourself at home using a home blood pressure monitor. If you know you have high blood pressure, here are ways to help get it under control. Ask your doctor what your blood pressure should be. Set a goal to lower your pressure with your doctor and talk about how you can reach your goal. Reduce sodium intake. Salt and many prepared foods are high in sodium. Most Americans consume too much sodium, which can raise blood pressure. The Million Hearts Healthy Eating and Lifestyle Resource Center has heart-healthy, low-sodium recipes and meal plans. Quit smoking, and if you don't smoke, don't start, since smoking can raise blood pressure. If your doctor prescribes blood pressure medications, take it as directed. Set a timer on your phone to remember to take your medicine at the same time each day. If you're having trouble paying for your medicines or if you are having side effects, ask your doctor for help. For more information about high blood pressure, it's available at cdc.gov/bloodpressure. You can also visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Southwest Airlines announced Tuesday that it will provide over $3.2 million in free transportation to patients seeking medical treatment and to their caregivers. Grants will be made through Southwest's Medical Transportation Grant Program, which will oversee a 14% increase over last year. Through the program, participating nonprofit hospitals and medical programs provide complimentary round-trip airline tickets to families who need to travel for specialized medical care. Receiving world-class medical attention is more attainable when the cost of travel is not an issue. This year, the program will impact 75 nonprofit hospitals and medical organizations, reaching a total of 101 medical facilities nationwide. This year's list includes Rady Children's Hospital and Scripps Health here in San Diego County, For a full list of 2015 participants, visit www.southwest.com/medical-grant. Linda Rutherford, Southwest Airlines Vice President of Communications and Outreach, says, "We are proud to help fill the gap between where patients live and where the doctors they need practice, so patients can receive the treatment that best supports them." To learn about qualifications for travel assistance through the designated organizations, please contact your medical facility. For more information on Southwest, you can visit southwest.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
The Sheriff's Department is looking for horse owners and riders who would like to saddle up and become members of the Volunteer Mounted Patrol. The team conducts patrols on horseback across San Diego County, including the Santee and Lakeside areas. The Santee Sheriff's Station is hosting a recruitment meeting on Tuesday, February 17th at 6:30 p.m. in the Santee Sheriff's Station located at 8811 Cuyamaca Street in Santee. The station's captain and members of the Volunteer Mounted Patrol will be in attendance to answer questions about the unit, and light refreshments will be provided. For more information, visit sdsheriff.net/volunteers. You can also call the Sheriff's Volunteer Service at 858-974-2084.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. Today, my very special guest is poet Jim Moreno, who's going to be telling us about the Kumeyaay Lake Poetry Campout on Valentine's weekend at Mission Trails Regional Park. Jim, welcome to the show.
It's nice to be with you, Miriam.
Now, Jim is a very illustrious poet. He is on the advisory board of the Poetic Medicine Institute of Palo Alto. He is the California and regional editor of San Diego Poetry Annual and a teaching artist with Young Audiences of San Diego and the Point Loma Arts Academy. Jim was also the resident poet for the juvenile court and community schools and an original member of the Langston Hughes Poetry Circle. He is the author of the book Dancing in Descent, as well as two CDs of music and poetry. Jim Moreno also hosts the second Tuesday Jimmy's Poetry at the Cafe Cabaret on Adams Avenue, and he's in post-production for a new radio show coming up soon called The Poetry Cafe, to be aired right here on KNSJ 89.1 FM. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about the Kumeyaay Lake Poetry Campout. How did this all come about?
Very wonderful man named Jay Wilson, who's the CEO of the Mission Trails Regional Park.
Yeah, with the Park Foundation.
I approached him at a fundraiser for our station, for KNSJ, and I just said, after listening to him talk about what was available at the park, I just had a inspiration to combine a poetry camp out with the services that are already there. And he's such a good man. He talked to me for an hour during this fundraiser, and we hatched this plan together of a 3-day poetry camp out with 4 poetry workshops including a tour of the park and stargazing with the San Diego Astronomy Association.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful setting for something like this. Now, the dates of this are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, February 13th, 14th, and 15th. Can you tell us what happens each of those days? Let's start with Friday night.
Yes, on and the most important part about the weekend is it's Valentine's Day weekend, so it is a weekend of love.
Ah.
And so each of the workshop, we have a different focus on love. And so Friday, everyone checks in to the campground at 5, Kumeyaay Lake Campground. And then we have a poetry workshop on the love of writing.
Sounds very romantic, whether you are a poet or a partner of a poet.
And then if we can finish up on time, we'll go up to just a little bit farther away from where we're riding, and the San Diego Astronomy Association is doing stargazing.
Ooh.
And so we'll be able to do that with them, and that makes a pretty full evening. Saturday morning, there's a tour of the park, and, mm-hmm. and people need to know this is one of the largest city parks in the nation, 5,000 acres, I think 53.
Yeah, I believe it's over 6,000. They've just actually added to it and enhanced it.
Mm-hmm. Really big park. And so a ranger will take people on a tour. We'll come back from that tour and we'll do a workshop on the love of nature.
Beautiful.
We'll break for lunch, and then in the afternoon, we'll do an Eros poetry workshop, our love for someone else. And I leave it open for people if they've lost someone that's been a love person for them and they want to write a grief poem, they can do that. If they are anticipating meeting someone, they can do about that. But if they're in a relationship with someone, especially a long-term relationship, it's important to also note that this is a workshop the weekend for beginning poets or seasoned poets.
There you go.
And my experience as a teacher is the beginning poets get something from the seasoned poets, even poets that are published. But the published poets, they get to remember when they were new.
Yeah.
And the freshness that they had, maybe not rehearsed yet, but a freshness they have that they no longer have because they're seasoned. And there's a nice complement between the two.
Yeah, I've certainly seen that at writing conferences for writers of all sorts.
You've been teaching a long time yourself, so you know what I'm saying is true. And then after that workshop, we're going to break for dinner, and then at sunset there'll be an open mic at the Kumeyaay Lake Amphitheater.
I understand that the evening event at the amphitheater is also open to the public if they want to come hear some very talented poets and poets in training.
That's correct. And it's open to musicians who have original songs that they like to play. We can't do covers because of my contract with the city, but we invite any musicians that want to come to the open mic and maybe back up a poet or do original songs.
Very nice. That sounds like just a lovely evening. And folks, if you're looking for what to do on Valentine's Day, that sounds like it might be a good choice. What happens on Sunday?
Sunday is very special for me. When I lived on Paula Reservation, I lived there for 5 years, and I began to get involved with Native American arts and crafts. And so a teacher, she was Kumeyaay, a Kumeyaay lady from Manzanita Reservation, taught me how to make dream catchers. So we'll actually Sunday morning, we'll be making dream catchers. And when we're finished with those, we'll actually have a dream catcher with a willow hoop, artificial line that makes the web on the dream catcher, a spirit bead and feathers.
Mm-hmm.
They'll actually have one of those made. And then we'll write a poem about the dreams that we want to catch in our lives as a form of self-love.
Beautiful. That just sounds like a wonderful experience. Now, for people who want to get more information, there is, by the way, a fee for signing up for the workshop. If people want to get more information or make a reservation, since it's limited, I understand, to only 12 lucky people, where can they go, Jim?
There's the Mission Trails website.
Which is mtrp.org.
They can go there and they can find out about the price, and they can also go to the link that helps them register.
Very good. And we also have that information up on the calendar at eastcountymagazine.org. Jim, it sounds like a wonderful way to spend Valentine's weekend. I'm wondering if we could close today by asking you if you would please share one of your wonderful poems with us.
I'd be happy to, Miriam. Thank you for asking. This is a poem that was written in the spring of 1994 after I had a dream. And that's another thing I neglected to say. On Sunday morning, if people have a dream that has mystified them or inspired them or frightened them, that's an opportunity to write about that dream as well.
Very nice.
This is called El Regalo del Árbol, The Gift of the Tree, in honor of Pablo Neruda. Pablo spoke of branches in the night. Branches found me in a dream, white gown Chippewa princess floating above Mother Earth waving goodbye. Branches lay wise, loving, wooden fingers on my chest, lightly touching, lightly loving, soothing, as had the woman. Branches penetrated my chest, searching, finding, gently holding, healing my wounded heart. Dream gift of medicine man. When poetry finds me, I am always alone, sitting, watching like eagle in deep blue sky mountain nest. When images, paintings, portraits of my mind find me, I am waist deep in snow melt river water, washing, rushing by with wet blue lip whispering words, soothing sounding liquid beauty, tears welling, rising, blessing peace. Above me, winged ones singing joyful feather songs. When poetry arrives, companioned by grandfather wind, caressing my tired mind with grandfather love, grandpa tenderness. I hear words surfacing from some ancient sacred place, sounding sometimes hot, like a forest ablaze with heat and thunder, sounding sometimes gentle, like a child's sleepy bedtime prayer. Sometimes muse summons by shadows drifting lazily, cloud shadows wafting on windows of passing cars, like phantom horses floating down sand dunes from Pharaoh's past. Pablo might say, I am summoned by branches of the night. Mi corazón es muy fuerte, porque son las palabras en mi corazón y el toque de las ramas en mis sueños. My heart is very strong because of the words in my heart and the touch of the branches in my dreams.
Beautiful. You do such a marvelous job of just painting words, painting images with words, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. And listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with the poet Jim Moreno about the upcoming Valentine's Day weekend Kumeyaay Lake Poetry Campout at Mission Trails Regional Park. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you, Miriam, and best of luck with your show, too.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes some romantic Valentine's events, including a campout and stargazing, Valentine's dances, a poetry campout, and dinner in a vineyard.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including Air Supply in concert, a string ensemble performance, and a salute to local heroes. Stay tuned for all these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa presents Murder at the Howard Johnson's each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in February, with a final performance on March 1st. This suspense comedy features love, betrayal, and mayhem in a plot about an ill-fated love triangle and three botched murder plots. For tickets and details, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
California Overland Adventures is teaming up with astronomer Dennis Manana for a Valentine's Overnight Adventure on Saturday, February 14th. The adventure includes a gourmet chuck wagon dinner with wine and chocolate, with camping at the historic Clark Homestead in the Anza Borrego Desert amid tamarisk trees and sand dunes. You'll spend a night under the stars, including stargazing with telescopes and astronomy program. After breakfast the next morning, a three-hour excursion through the Borrego Badlands culminates in a breathtaking overlook at Fonts Point. For details and reservations, visit CaliforniaOverland.com or call 866-6-EXPLORE.
St. Adelaide Parish is holding a Valentine's Day dinner dance on February 15th from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Campo Community Center, 976 Sheridan Road, Campo. The evening will include dinner, dancing, a live auction, and raffle, lasagna dinner, and dessert. For tickets, call 619-569-7567.
Bernardo Winery invites you to its annual Vino Valentino Valentine's Day dinner on Saturday, February 14th at 6 p.m. This year's evening of romance includes a carriage ride through the vineyard, buffet dinner, and carving station by Café Merlot, crepes made to order in the barrel room, live music on the patio, wine by the glass, a chocolate pairing, and espresso drinks. For reservation and details, visit BernardoWinery.com.
If you love writing poetry, the Kumeyaay Lakes Poetry Campout set for Valentine's weekend, February 13th through the 15th, may be your heart's desire. The weekend at Mission Trails Regional Park will blend writing time for beginning to seasoned poets with four writing workshops. The weekend also includes stargazing with the San Diego Astronomy Association, a guided nature walk, and a Saturday sunset open mic night for camping poets in the community, as well as Valentine-themed poetry events and readings of works by famous poets in a Native American-inspired session on catching your dreams. Advance reservations and a fee are required for this event, which is organized by Jim Morena, a regional editor of the San Diego Poetry Annual. Jimmy Poetry at the Cafe Cabaret on Adams Avenue and a producer of the San Diego Poetry Cafe program on KNSJ. For more information, call 619-668-2748.
For a preview of coming attractions, the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce announces its 7th annual Salute to Local Heroes, which this year features a Come to the Cabaret theme. The event will be held February 18th from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Town and Country Resort Hotel's Golden Ballroom. A cabaret singer, silent auction, raffles, and cabaret cuisine will all be part of the evening's fun at this event, honoring heroes from the Fire and Police Department, paramedics, and retired senior volunteer patrol. For tickets and information, you can visit lamesachamber.com.
For the past 40 years, Air Supply has been performing in concerts around the world, including their most famed hit, All Out of Love. They performed in Vegas and at Australia Centennial for Prince Charles and Princess Diana. Now on February 20th and 21st at 8 p.m., Air Supply will take the stage at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater. You can find details or reserve tickets at sequan.com.
A Western Sweetheart Dance featuring country artist Patrick Trampas will be held at the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds on February 21st from 5 until 10 p.m. with entertainment starting at 6 p.m. A coronation for Miss Rodeo Lakeside will also be held. For tickets, visit lakesiderodeo.com.
The Bert Turetsky String Bass and Ensemble will perform Sunday, February 22nd at 3 p.m. at the Mission Trails Regional Park. This free concert is sponsored by the Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation. For more information, you can visit mtrp.org.
Trouble in Mind? A groundbreaking classic about a racially integrated cast rehearsing for what the actors hope will be the next big hit on Broadway. Take stage at the Moxie Theater at 6063 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego from January 31st through February 22nd. Alice Childress was the first African-American woman to have a professional play produced in New York. For tickets and details, go to moxietheater.com. That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Leon Thompson with an important health care reminder. February 15th is the deadline to sign up for health insurance this year under Covered California, the state's exchange for purchasing insurance under the Affordable Care Act, which requires every American to have health insurance. Last week, health officials gathered at UCSD Medical Center to urge San Diegans to enroll in the health care program, Times of San Diego reports. The need to get everyone insured is critical, said Dr. Raul Coimbra, the hospital surgeon-in-chief. As a physician and a parent, I know the importance of having insurance. Assembly Speaker Tony G. Atkins and Peter V. Lee, executive director of Covered California, also spoke out. Lee praised San Diego County for being a leader in enrollment statewide and reminded residents that they will face a tax penalty if they aren't insured. But, he noted, the far worst penalty is not having an early diagnosis of cancer. Countywide, 122,000 people bought insurance through Covered California in 2014, and so far for 2015, 28,000 more have signed up. Nick Mazzioni, director of County Health and Human Services Agency, said the real value is having access to health care. He urged the public, if you really love someone, then get him covered. You can sign up online for coverage and potential tax benefits with Covered California. In addition, the county's 211 service can help you answer questions and complete forms. You can also get help from a licensed healthcare broker at no additional costs.
California has approved funding for improvements at the airport in Jacumba Hot Springs. The state authorization comes in response to the county authorizing a copay with the state back in 2012 to pave the runway and make other upgrades. On March 18th, the county's Public Works Department will ask supervisors to award the construction project and authorize advertising, says Michael Curry, project manager with the department. Howard Cook, former chair of the Jacumba Sponsor Group, the planning body for the Jacumba region, calls the airport rehabilitation a major revitalization project for the community. The existing runway surface is decomposed granite. The project will include runway rehabilitation and paving, as well as grading and drainage improvements, upgrades that Curry says will enhance services to the flying public. Construction is estimated to begin in June 2016, with completion anticipated in September of 2016. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Hayden Parsley, on the road in Jacumba Hot Springs for East County Magazine. You can take a trip into California's past at the Desert View Tower, a quirky and whimsical relic of the past that is still open to the public here in San Diego's East County. Located just off Interstate 8 at the Incapa exit, the tower is poised on a rocky overlook surrounded by desert on all sides. Built in the 1920s by Bert Vaughn, a real estate tycoon who owned much of Jacumba, this 70-foot watchtower has become a tourist attraction and a local landmark on the outskirts of the small town known as Jacumba Hot Springs. Originally built to commemorate the area's rough pre-highway history, the tower houses a small museum filled with artifacts and oddities of California's history, including our region's Native American, Spanish, and pioneer past. The top floor of the tower is an observation deck, with a coin-fed telescope that provides a breathtaking view of Imperial Valley and the Anza Borrego Desert, though now somewhat marred by a wind farm. In 1950, a gift shop was added around the base of the tower. The shop still operates today and is filled with an eclectic mix of items such as geodes, gems and minerals, vintage postcards, historic and travel books on our region, arts and crafts items such as handmade Tecate tiles, onyx bookends, musical instruments, carved animal sculptures, and more. Roaming this area of the tower are the owner's many friendly dogs that add to the rustic charm of the location. You can also get a workout pumping a player piano while listening to old-time tunes. While I was there, the wind was gusting. It was a bit chilly and I wished I had a better coat when I reached the top. The owner says this is atypical though, and that it is warm and sunny most days. The proprietor, Ben Schultz, has many colorful stories on East County's history, culture, and colorful characters, having operated the site for many years. Boulder Park at the Desert View Tower was created in 1933 by an unemployed engineer, Merle Ratcliffe, who was out of work during the Great Depression. He sculpted reptiles and fanciful animals out of the huge stone boulders. I didn't get a chance to tour these, which will be an adventure for another time.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
On February 6th at midnight, buses left Old Town bound for the March for Real Climate Leadership in Oakland, California. On board were activists from San Diego 350, as well as students from King Chavez Community School in downtown San Diego, with their teacher, Keith Fowler. The local marchers aimed to join an expected group of 10,000 people from multiple organizations, among them Sierra Club and the Backbone Campaign, at the march in Oakland. According to Reporting San Diego, Peg Mitchell of San Diego 350 says fracking is happening in Kern County, where we are depleting our water resources and also growing our food. This is where she took the students from school in December for a class trip. The students were shocked at what they saw there, the teacher reports. Why is fracking a problem in California? Because conventional oil, which is cheaper and easier to extract, is nearly gone. What fracking or hydraulic fracturing does is inject water and chemicals under great pressure into the ground, breaking the rock. This releases a form of oil that is more like a sludge. It is also more damaging to the environment and the atmosphere. The water used in the process is also lost from the water cycle since it is extremely toxic. It is partially being reused in fracking operations, but in the middle of a historic drought, this is also affecting the available water that our state has. Reporting San Diego also asked Unitsky Rico, one of the students, why she is making the trip to protest. She said that we all have to do this to protect future generations. She intends to be an activist from now on in order to stop climate change and ensure a better life. The San Diego 350 activists say that they want the governor to show real leadership and ban fracking in the state. Governor Jerry Brown will be joining New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has banned the practice, as well as France, Scotland, and Wales. Other European countries are also considering banning fracking. The primary advocate of fracking is the oil industry, which contends that fracked oil and gas is needed to fuel our nation's energy needs. Though these are fossil fuels that also add to the greenhouse gas emission problems contributing to global climate change. According to the Backbone Campaign, just last year, big oil lobbying group Western States Petroleum Association spent more than any other group, nearly $8.9 million, to lobby the California state government to grease the wheels for future drilling projects. The Backbone Campaign concludes that it will take a major national movement to fight back against big oil's unlimited resources, and it hopes the climate march in California will be a first step leading to a fracking ban in our state. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
The measles epidemic has raised concerns among health officials over the growing number of parents who are refusing to vaccinate their children. Countywide, 7.6% of kindergartners locally are unvaccinated or behind on their vaccination boosters, Voice of San Diego reports. The range of vaccination rates across San Diego County is about as broad as it can get, from 0% to 100%, depending on the school. East County Magazine has now analyzed vaccination rates in East County, and we found many schools that have high rates of unvaccinated kindergartners. The rate out here ranged from just 1% unvaccinated at Mount Vernon Elementary School in Lemon Grove to a staggering 90% of kindergartners who are unvaccinated at Holy Trinity, a private school in El Cajon. Many East County or inland area schools have 20% or more of students who have not been vaccinated. That includes the Greater San Diego Academy in the Jamul-Dulzura Union District with 46% unvaccinated, Heartland Christian Homeschool in Spring Valley at 44%, Innovations Academy in Poway, 38%, Creekside Early Learning Center in Alpine, 37%, Rancho San Diego Elementary, 28%, Shabbat Hebrew Academy in Scripps Ranch, 28%, Dehesa Elementary, 25%, Lemon Avenue School, 24%, Loma Elementary in the La Mesa Spring Valley District, 22%, Maryland Avenue in La Mesa, 21%, Ramona Community School 21%, and Madison Avenue School in El Cajon 20%. You can find a map and a database chart on our website at eastcountymagazine.org in our health section showing all schools in East County and San Diego's inland regions with high rates of unvaccinated youngsters, as well as a link to details on schools countywide published by Voice of San Diego. California currently allows parents to claim exemptions from vaccination requirements for personal beliefs, unlike most states where only religious or medical need exemptions are allowed. A bill co-authored by San Diego Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez would eliminate the personal belief exemptions to protect public health. The rate of unvaccinated children is important because they can contract diseases such as measles and endanger other children or adults who rely on the herd immunity of numerous people who have been vaccinated. Unvaccinated people can spread these potentially dangerous illnesses to those who cannot get a vaccine for medical reasons, such as people with immune diseases or illnesses such as lymphoma cancer, as well as infants under 1 year of age. Complications from measles can include high fever, brain damage, hearing damage, deafness, pneumonia, and even death. Before the measles vaccine, several hundred people died of measles in the U.S. Children who do not have vaccinations can also face interruptions in their education, since some schools, including schools in Los Angeles and Chicago, are now sending unvaccinated children home for 3 weeks following an exposure to measles at their schools to prevent spread of the disease. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson has urged all parents to get all recommended vaccinations for their children to prevent debilitating diseases such as measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox. He says that vaccinations keep students healthy so they can attend school, learn, and succeed, and they eliminate school disruptions such as those caused by the recent outbreak of measles. The superintendent adds that as a science teacher, I have reviewed the science, and I can tell you that the vaccines have been proven safe and effective for those students who are healthy enough to get the immunizations. They keep your child and your community protected. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, A.K. Jules, Kevin McLeod, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.